Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace. Psalm 12, 6. Proverbs 5, 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his tracks. Proverbs 5, 21. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We spent a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. Most of you remember that in one of the services last Sunday, we gave information on the subject of the rainbow. And tonight, the subject is clouds. So we have some interesting passages of Scripture that we're going to be looking at. And so if you will, first of all, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. If you'll notice also, this passage is in the bulletin from last Sunday, in case you have one of those. And that way you can have a close-up look at Hebrews 12, 1. Before we begin our service tonight, we spend a few moments in prayer, realizing the importance of being in harmony with our Lord as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts tonight for your wonderful grace and express our thanks for the fact that you love us, care for us, that you've given us in your word so many magnificent promises. Tonight we are thrilled that we can come together again to focus our minds and hearts upon these eternal truths. We're thankful that you love us and care for us. You've given us the assurance in your word that you would never leave us, never forsake us. We're thankful indeed for the fact that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. For those tonight who have physical difficulties, we pray for them. For those who have various other problems and burdens, we pray for them. We pray especially for the Bible Study mission that will be beginning this weekend. We pray that you will bless all of the team members as they go, and may your hand of love and protection be upon them. May they be able to be successful in the presentation of the wonderful gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful again and again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles now again, as I've already said, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You see this verse on the screen. We have for you the verse from the original language. We have the Greek. We also have the English. We will read the various translations before we look at Hebrews 12:1 from the original text. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Another translation, so therefore also we such are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. Let us put away every encumbrance and the most besetting sin. Let us run with endurance the contest set before us. If you'll notice, if you can see the screen clearly from where you're sitting, I want to point out some things for you from the original language. First of all, we have an emphasis upon the fact that the emphasis is on the surrounding of a great cloud of witnesses. In a few moments, we're going to be looking to determine what this is all about, but let's look to see. First of all, it says, so, therefore, also, we such are surrounded. If you look carefully at the word surrounded, you will discover that the way that that word is used, it is a present middle participle. Most of us have learned in the past that the present tense is an emphasis upon continuous action. The middle voice emphasizes the fact that the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. And then, of course, this is a word that is used as a participle. And the word is surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. I wanted to point out to you the fact that the particular Greek word that is used here is very interesting, because we have the word which means to be surrounded, And then we have a prefix, or the first of the word, which is P-E-R-I, which is the prefix or the preposition, which means around. So it means to be surrounded by. And you'll notice that the way the word is used is that it is the present middle participle. Now, if you'll go on down to the last part of the verse, it says that we're to run with endurance the contest that is set before us. And if you'll notice, there again we have the word run, and then we have the word set before us, which is the same particular root word. You'll notice that it is the K-E-I-M-A-I, just as this one, K-E-I-M-A-I. The only difference is that in the first participle, we have the prefix P-E-R-I, which means surrounded, around. And then down here where it says people are set before us, you'll notice that the word is K-E-M-A-I, but the prefix is P-R-O. Now, I know that you're not probably all that excited about that, but it was interesting to me to be able to see that in the original language we have an emphasis upon a cloud of witnesses surrounding. Down here we have an emphasis upon a contest that is set before us. Now, I wanted you to see that we have analyzed this many times. We look at it very briefly tonight. On the screen now, you see a timeline. There's an emphasis upon the eternal ages past, the eternal ages future. Most of us have analyzed this so many times. We have an emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, and then we have an intercalated period, the insertion of the age of grace. And this is where you and I now live. After the rapture takes place, there will be the 7 years of tribulation. And then there's an emphasis upon the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to do tonight is be able to see that at the time of the second advent, there will be a huge crowd of individuals. And that's one of the meanings that we find in our particular verse this evening, and you'll see it in detail in just a few moments. Most of you are aware of the fact that we're living in the age of grace. The age of grace has what is known as a pre-canon period and a post-canon period. We've analyzed this so many times, I will not recapitulate that this evening. The point that I'm trying to get over here is that at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, there will be the second advent, and that is the emphasis of one of these particular passages of Scripture that we're seeing this evening. What I'm going to ask you to do is to take a look again at the verse. If you have it close up, take a look at the word cloud. It is the Greek word, and it's N-E-P-H-O-S, nephos. I spent a moment on that for you to be able to understand what I'm doing this evening. If you'll notice, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that we're encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. That great cloud of witnesses actually is making reference to what we have in the preceding chapter. The preceding chapter, perhaps you've studied it recently, maybe you haven't, includes a list of names of individuals, and we call this the faith chapter. There's an emphasis there upon Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and then we have the judges. We have an emphasis upon various individuals. Please notice now, and I'm going to put this on the screen only briefly for you to be able to see, that I've taken this word, nephos, N-E-P-H-O-S, and I want you to be able to see that that word is translated cloud. On the screen now, you see the word nephos. Most of you are able to read the Greek by now, which is N-E-P-H-O-S. And then there's another word that is translated cloud or clouds, which is nephele, N-E-P-H-E-L-E. I won't come back and ask you to give me the letters in the Greek, because I feel like that you've heard this many times, but I've done you a favor tonight and pointed out to you the fact that these letters NEPHOS, NEPHOS, cloud, and I wrote it out in English for you. And then NEPHELE, and I've written this also out in English for you. You may or may not be interested, but I wanted you to know that we get a word, nephelometer, from this word from the Greek language. The word nephelometer is the word which means a device for studying the nature of the suspensions using diffuse reflected light. I know you've been waiting for years to get that information, but I want you to be able to have it tonight. I want you to be able to see that the word cloud is a beautiful word used in the Word of God in many, many different passages. And we're going to be looking at some of those this evening. What I want you to be able to see is most of us at one time or the other have had the experience of being above a cloud. If you've ever ridden in a plane, you've been able to see, as you looked out the window, clouds. You would feel like that you could get out of the plane, if possible, and walk around on those clouds. But I promise you don't plan to do that. But anyway, I want you to see that clouds are beautiful. And the word cloud is used in many different ways in the Word of God. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to follow along now and take a look at the words that have to do with the surrounding cloud of witnesses. Now, I'm aware of the fact that we can look at this verse of Scripture and we can see that there's an emphasis upon a cloud of witnesses. I've already told you that at the time of the second advent, we have an emphasis upon a multitude of people who will return in resurrection bodies with the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of the second advent. Now, did you hear what I just said? I said that there is going to be a time at the second advent when a multitude of people in resurrection bodies will be coming with the Lord Jesus Christ at this point of time called the second advent. What we have here in this particular passage of Scripture is, I believe, a reference to the preceding chapter, which emphasizes a great cloud of witnesses, which means Old Testament believers. Put those two things together. Now, if you will, please, let's begin our study by looking, first of all, at the points. Number one, when you come to the Bible, you will discover that the clouds portray great armies of great masses of people. I ask you to turn to chapter 11, and I want to ask you to follow me as I read through some of these fantastic verses. You'll follow along. Verse 3 of chapter 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Notice, if you will, that fantastic verse. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of faith, by the word of God, so that it is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. I'm not going to take time to exegete and talk about each one of these verses, but I want you to see when we get through that we're emphasizing Old Testament believers, a cloud of witnesses. Then if you'll look at verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Verse 7, if you will, please. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things yet not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of the household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. If you look at verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Look down at verse 11. By faith, even Sarah. Go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham. Go, if you will, to verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Some of you right now are saying, my, you're reading so fast through all of these verses of Scripture. I want you to see that most of you, because of having studied your Old Testament, as I'm reading this, things are just popping up in your mind, and you're being able to remember various things related to these very brief verses that I'm giving you. By faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now, are you able to see what I'm trying to do? I'm reading rapidly. I want you to be able to come back later on and look up each of these verses and take yourself into the Old Testament to find all this wonderful information. If you'll look, please, at verse 33, you will see that there is an emphasis upon Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel the prophets, who by faith, verse 33, conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Now I could read on, but I cannot do that because time is not going to permit, because I'm going to give you now an emphasis on what some of the things are presented to us in the Word of God about clouds. Number one, clouds portray great armies or great masses of people. I've already emphasized to you the fact that at the time of the Second Advent, there's going to be a multitude of people in resurrection bodies coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a mass of people. And it's referring to a cloud of individuals. Also, if you'll discover that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, there's an emphasis upon thousands of people will return, as I've just mentioned. And then there's the Old Testament reference of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 8. Now, I have done you a favor, or maybe even a disfavor, but I've typed out these verses so that you can look at the reference on the screen and listen while I read the verses. I'm doing that for you because I'm often aware of the fact that many times I refer to passages of Scripture and you don't hear them, you don't look at them, you don't have time to go to the verses because I'm moving on to another verse. And so I've decided to do this differently tonight. So stay with me, please. You look at the verse as it's recorded and just listen as I present the various aspects related to that verse. Clouds portray great armies or great masses of people, as I've already mentioned in Revelation 1:7, and in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 8, which says, clouds are used in this passage of Scripture for armies. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 13, behold, he shall come as clouds. His chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. And then I go back to our verse of Scripture, which is Hebrews 12:1. Sometimes clouds are used in the Bible, right here they're used, for a great number of people, or classified, for instance, as reference to the preceding chapter, a hall of fame, the great biblical emphasis on the faith chapter. And I read again, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what is our responsibility? Let us lay aside every weight, lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with hupomone, patience, the race that is set before us." Now, I'm tempted to just spend all my time on this point one, but I cannot do it, but I want to emphasize the fact that this is a magnificent verse in relationship to our responsibility as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse of Scripture to me is emphasizing the fact that we have a responsibility to thousands and thousands of individuals. It says here, we are encompassed with so great a cloud. Not only are people watching us, a cloud of witnesses, we have the responsibility of being aware of that fact, but we have a responsibility of witnessing to those who have not heard or have not received the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, we're to lay aside every weight. We're to lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. And then it says, let us run with patience. And that Greek word there, hupomone, means that we are to have patience as we witnessed to the salvation to the unsaved individuals. So this is an emphasis, I believe, on our responsibility to lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the clouds portray great armies, great masses of people. Number two, you can see it on the screen. Clouds disappearing represents the blotting out of sins. I find that in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. Let me read it to you. "I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions, and as a cloud your sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you." Here we have an emphasis upon the prophet Isaiah saying to the individuals of that day, what you need to do if you're not in harmony with the Lord, get in harmony with the Lord. And so I put into my notes right here, this is an emphasis, I believe, in our day of being properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sins then represents the clouds, and when we admit our faults and failures and sins, the clouds disappear. Now, are you able to see clouds disappearing, representing blotting out of our sins? Now, you can see that I have to move along. Number three, the day of clouds is presented in the Word of God as a season of catastrophe and divine judgment. I'm giving you time because I have the verses on the screen for you to copy. I want you to see that one time when you look into the Old Testament, you will discover that there are verses that emphasize a day of clouds. And the day of clouds is a season of catastrophe and divine judgment. This is found in various passages like Lamentation chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read it to you. "How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger." A very interesting passage of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1. "How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger." The cloud here is also used as a picture of judgment of God in relationship to the Jews in 586 B.C. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3 is the next verse that you see on the screen. It says, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen." The next verse that you see on the screen is Ezekiel 34, verse 12. I read it. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep, and they're scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." That passage of Scripture in Ezekiel 34:12 speaks of the judgment of God upon individuals in the midst of going in the wrong direction, finding themselves in the midst of the storm clouds. Judgment is also described in Joel chapter 2, verse 2, which you see on the screen. I read, "A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like." And then it goes on to say, "Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." I must hasten, but only want you to see that point three, clouds are used in the Word of God to present a season of catastrophe, of divine judgment. Number four, which you also see, the cloud is a symbol of something temporary, something that's not enduring. Now, most of us have seen clouds and we watch clouds and we've noticed that clouds come and clouds disappear. It's amazing to me if you just take time out to watch clouds, for example. The cloud is a symbol then of something that is temporary, something that is not enduring. In Job chapter 30, verse 15, we read, Job's happiness was there and then it was gone. If you know anything about Job and the background of Job, you're aware of the fact that Job faced many heartaches and many different problems and difficulties. And when I go to Job 30, verse 15, here's what I read. "Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my prosperity passes away as a cloud." Interesting, isn't it? All I'm trying to do is let you see that oftentimes we don't take time out to see how God uses, for instance, the word rainbow. And now we're seeing how he uses the word cloud. The cloud is a symbol then of something that's temporary, not enduring. Job 30, verse 15, Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. You're staying with me very well tonight. So that means now we can go to point five. When you study the word cloud in the scripture, you will discover that the scripture says clouds without rain is like a human promise without fulfillment. Let's stop and look at that for a few moments. Clouds without rain is as a human promise without fulfillment. Clouds without rain found in Isaiah 18, verse 4. "For so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest." That's Isaiah chapter 18, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 5. "Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low." All I'm trying to do is to point out that there are a number of verses of scripture. I've given you Isaiah 18, 4. Also, you'll notice that I have Jude, verse 12. That's an interesting passage. It says, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." It's an amazing verse of scripture you'll find in Jude, the 12th verse. And I'm sure you know that that's the 12th chapter, because that's the only one chapter, and so that's verse 12, which I call chapter 12. "These are spots in your..." Did y'all catch that? "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." This is emphasizing that cloud without rain is a human promise without fulfillment. I pause to make a practical application. Have you ever made a promise to someone and you didn't keep that promise? Now, don't say this out loud. I'm not trying to ask for any outward testimonies tonight. But I believe you'll be able to see that the emphasis, the illustration, clouds without rain, is like a human promise without fulfillment. I've always said that I'm responsible when I make a statement. If I promise you I'm going to be at a certain place at a certain time, I'm going to kill myself getting there, but I'm going to be there, if all possible, on time. If I see that I'm not going to be able to make it, I will call you ahead of time and let you know. This is just the way I feel about things, even though I have not always been perfect in that particular example that I'm giving you. However, I do feel that we have the responsibility as a believer to keep our promises. Clouds without rain is as a human promise without fulfillment. Number six, clouds portray false teachers. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, let me read it to you. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. It's a picture of false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Here, clouds present the picture of teachers that are untrue, false. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. All of these verses would demand a lot of attention if you would take the time to look them up and analyze and study. These are fantastic passages of Scripture. Number seven, clouds are also used in the Word of God to portray divine presence. In other words, what we're saying here is that Jesus Christ is portrayed in one of the theophanies as a cloud. Now, most of us are familiar with the word theophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but we have some illustrations here. Exodus 16:10, Exodus 39:9, Numbers 11:25, Job 22:14, Psalm 18:11-12, Isaiah 19:1. I'm going to give you time while I'm talking about these verses to take them down. I want you to see clouds portray divine presence. Jesus Christ is presented to us in various ways in the Old Testament. And we find it in Exodus 16, verse 10. I read, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." That's a theophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 33, verse 9. "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." This is a theophany. I'm trying to give you some Old Testament illustrations. I've just given you Exodus 16:10. I've just given you Exodus 33:9. Also, you can look them up later. Numbers 11:25, Job 22:14. These are other illustrations. And then I need to tell you Psalm 18, verse 4. I have that on the screen for you. Let me read it to you, 11:12. Psalm 18:11-12. "He made darkness his secret place, as a pavilion round about him were dark waters, thick clouds of the skies." Verse 12 says, "At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire." Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1, "The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it." I present to you number seven, clouds portray divine presence. I've given you Exodus 16:10, Exodus 33:9, Numbers 11:25, Job 22:14, Psalm 18:11-12, Isaiah 19, verse 1. That has me move quickly to number eight. The word cloud is also used as a presentation, formation, portraying the power and the wisdom of God. The cloud emphasizes the power and the wisdom of God. Most of you are aware of the fact that the word power in the New Testament is the Greek word dunamis. And the word dunamis is the Greek word which means dynamite. I'm sure that all of us are aware of the fact that God's word is powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There you have the word. We have an emphasis upon the fact that the word of God is dynamite. The word of God is powerful, and we must be aware of that. We also are aware of the fact that the Greek word for wisdom is sophia. And so we have here an emphasis upon how the cloud presentation presents the power and the wisdom of God. In Psalm 135, 6 and 7, and I read, "Whatsoever the Lord please, that he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He maketh the wind out of his treasures. He causeth the clouds to rise." What we're seeing in Psalm 135, verse 6 and 7, what we see in Psalm 147, verse 8, what we see in Proverbs 8:28, is an emphasis upon the fact that cloud formation portrays the power and the wisdom of God. There are many other verses that we could give, but let's go to number 9. Clouds are used to illustrate, and I don't even know why, whether I should do this one or not, illustrate man's ignorance. Job chapter 38, verse 37. Job chapter 36, verse 29. Job chapter 37, verses 15 and 16. Let me emphasize this. Clouds are used to illustrate the ignorance of mankind. Can you count the number of clouds? On your way to church tonight, we looked at these beautiful clouds. Can you number the clouds? Job 38:37 says, "Who can number the clouds? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven?" Very interesting passage, Job 38:37. Who can number the clouds? Have you been able to count the clouds? Look into the sky any time and see if you can count the clouds. Job 36:29. Men cannot account for their spreading. Also, can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? And Job 37:15 and 16 says, "Man cannot dispose of or balance the clouds. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? The wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge." What I'm trying to say to you tonight, something that you're probably concluding as we're going through these magnificent verses of Scripture. No one can design anything like that which God has designed. When we think in terms of the rainbow, when we think in terms of the clouds, on our way here tonight, we were commenting about the beautiful sky and the beautiful sunset. And I said to Joyce, "Do you know what? If it wasn't for gravity, we'd fall off of this thing called Earth." Now, some of you are picking up on that really quickly. You're aware of the fact that it is gravity that keeps us on the Earth. And if God so chose to release that, can you imagine what a somersault we would be in? Okay, so much for that. Clouds are used to illustrate man's ignorance. And I've read Job 38:37, Job 36:29, Job 37:15 and 16. That takes me to number 10. My, have we gone rapidly. Because I've gone rapidly, I wanted you to be able to see that I've driven myself to come to my last number and then take you into the wonderful book of Revelation. Number 10, clouds close the scene of the incarnation. When I say that, does that do something to you? Clouds close the scene of the incarnation. Most of us are aware of the fact that we have studied many, many times Jesus Christ in the flesh. We find that God brought about this magnificent individual called the humanity of Jesus Christ. We've analyzed it many times. We've analyzed the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at that passage of Scripture which speaks of the fact that when Jesus Christ was born as a tiny little baby, He spoke out and said, "I'm here on purpose. I've come because God ordained this and I'm fulfilling the plan of God." And He's taken us all the way back into the Old Testament, into Psalms, where we have an emphasis upon the fact that that same passage of Scripture is quoted, "The ear has been pierced." Most of you remember that, don't you? An emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ, in essence, was saying when He came in the flesh, He said, "I'm here on purpose. I've come because it is the plan of God, and it is the only way that mankind can become believers and have salvation." So I read, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven," I'm reading verse 10 first, "He went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." That's Acts chapter 1, verse 10. But let me go now to verse 9. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Clouds close the scene of the transfiguration. Matthew 17:5, "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Would you do me a favor? Go with me now to Revelation chapter 10. Oh, I've been heading to this point, and I have about 4 or 5 minutes to talk about it. I want you to see that God presents to us a beautiful picture of the cloud. We see in verse 10 of Revelation, verse 1, "And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud." Please underline that. Most of you are aware of the fact that John is out there on the Isle of Patmos. God has revealed so many magnificent things to him. We have this fantastic book, the book of Revelation. And we find ourselves now in chapter 10, which says, "And I saw another strong angel." We could deal with the subject of angelology here, but let's not do it. "I saw another strong angel." I never have thought about an angel being weak, have you? But I'm just reading what it says here. "And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud." Notice also, "And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire." I'm here to announce tonight to you the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has a wonderful plan for every individual. And you can take any particular word that you want to, if it be rainbow or cloud or whatever word, and you can find throughout this magnificent book many words of emphasis on those particular words. Now let's go back and look at it very quickly. Number one, clouds in the Bible portray great armies or great masses of people. Revelation 1:7, Isaiah 60, verse 8. And there's where I emphasized again that thousands of people will return in resurrection bodies with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. When I came to Hebrews chapter 6, I reminded you that in the preceding chapter, there is an emphasis upon that great cloud of witnesses. I believe the Old Testament individuals. Number two, clouds disappearing represent the blotting out of sins. Isaiah 44:2. Number three, the day of clouds is a season of catastrophe and divine judgment. And I've given you verses of scripture on that. Number four, the cloud is a symbol of something temporary, not enduring, transitory. Job 30, verse 15, Hosea 6, 4. Number five, clouds without rain is like a human promise that will not be fulfilled. Isaiah 18, 4. Isaiah 25, 5. Jude, verse 12. You can check your notes and see what verses you left out. Number six, clouds portray false teachers. This is presented to us in 2 Peter 2, 17. Number seven, clouds portray divine presence. Jesus Christ is presented there as one of the theophanies in Exodus 16, 10, Exodus 33, 9, Numbers 11, 25, and the other verses which you see on the screen. Number eight, cloud formation presents the power and the wisdom of God. We emphasize there, if you remember, the word dunamis, dynamite, and the Greek word sophia, wisdom, and it emphasizes God's understanding in relationship to every detail of life. Cloud formation portrays the power and the wisdom of God. Psalm 135, 6 and 7. Psalm 147, verse 8. Proverbs 8, 28. Number 9. Clouds are used to illustrate man's ignorance. Job 8, 38, 37. Job 36, 29. And number 10. Clouds close the scene of the incarnation. Acts 1, 8. Clouds close the scene of the transfiguration as found in Matthew 17, 5. There's something I want to say about you folks. You're good listeners, and I appreciate very, very much. I'm aware of the fact that the subject of the rainbow and the subject of the cloud is somewhat different, but I wanted you to be able to see how God is in charge of every aspect in relationship to even the clouds. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful that you've given us this magnificent book that deals with so many, many different subjects. And tonight we've been reminded of the fact that when we take a look into the sky and see these magnificent clouds, that we know that God is the originator of all of these things. In the light of this, we realize that you have a wonderful and magnificent plan for us as an individual. We're not here as an accident. We're here on purpose. You've allowed us to be alive at this particular moment in time in history. We realize that we're here because you want us to be here. If you didn't want us to be here, you would have already taken us home. But since we're here, it means that you still have a reason and a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so help us to be determined in our hearts every single moment of every single day that we're going to be able to find ourselves in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to see ourselves being surrounded by individuals who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to also be aware of the fact that we're being viewed by such a great cloud of witnesses. Help us to live our lives in accordance with your magnificent plan. And tonight, as we come to the close of this service, for those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to understand that God loved the world so much and Christ died for them, and they can believe right now and have salvation. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." We're thankful for the plan of salvation that is by faith alone in Christ alone. And we pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
My Father, there is no shadow. of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
Mercies I see.